Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, and as being united as Americans. We must be united as Americans to save our country, people. Please, let's be together. Let's think about what being an American is, and let's also think about what being a statesman is. A statesman, stateswoman, these people we send to the public office, what are they doing for us, or what are they doing to destroy us, which is what we really have to face. Today's Thursday, February 28th, 2013. This is Sally Baptist hosting the show tonight. And the key topic we're going to be talking about tonight is going to be the toll roads. I've got a few other things we're going to talk about first, but we're going to focus on, I'm going to give you an update of what happened when I went to the AAA member appreciation event yesterday and talk about the toll roads when it comes to Agenda 21, sustainable development, and the real crime of what's happening with the toll road situation and the fact that it's being fought, this battle is being fought all over the country, but you can't get the news media to do anything, can't get AAA to do anything. So we'll get into that in a few minutes. But first, talk about some of the general updates of what's going on out there today, such as tomorrow's the big day, sequestration. The sky is falling. The sad part, of course, the sky is not really falling. I mean, it's already fallen. We've already truly gone off the fiscal cliff. We're already bankrupt, people. Would you, face the facts and deal with what's really going on? So when it comes to the financial, fiscal disaster crisis we have, that's already here. This sequestration thing is nothing. It isn't the problem. It's only going to say instead of spending this much more money next year, we're going to spend 6% more instead of 8% more. That's all it is. It's not cutting any of the budget that's out there right this moment. But that isn't because that's not what the powers that be want. Because, again, we have a totally out-of-control federal government. All three houses are totally screwed up. You got a White House with an occupier in there who's a socialist who doesn't believe in the free society, who will do anything he can to create unrest, civil disobedience, civil war. That's what he wants. You take what he's doing here with the budget in addition to what he's doing with the gun control. He's trying to bring this country down. I mean, I truly, truly, truly believe that. That's just my own opinion, and I've said that on the show before. And then you have two totally dysfunctional houses of Congress that are so, so screwed up, it's not funny. The fact you've got more Republicans in the House, House of Representatives, and they have the majority, I think they're a little bit concerned about letting anything else happen here, too. The people are not, the people know there's something seriously screwed up. And for Obama to be out there threatening to take away law enforcement, threaten to take away education, threaten to take away TSA, all these things, it's all just political games at the expense of the people. It's so unethical. It is so un-American. It is so anti-American. I don't see how you can not say his behavior is not treasonous. He is trying to destroy this country. But then you have these two houses of Congress that don't do a whole lot better. Even though right now, it looks like it's going to happen, which to me it should. If they would manage the changes correctly, I'm sure you've heard some of these different things. I don't have a list in front of me, but I probably should have put one together. But do we really need to study goldfish behavior right now? How many millions, hundreds of millions of dollars should go to studying goldfish? They're telling you and me they can't afford our highway infrastructure, but they can afford to study goldfish. This is the stuff that's nonsense. I mean, there's so many stupid things like that out there. And like I said, I don't have the list in front of me. If anybody out there wants to call in and share some of the stupid things like studying goldfish, there's so much pork out there, just so many things that we don't need, that are not critical. But if you go ahead and stop studying goldfish, who's going to care? So that doesn't serve the White House occupier's agenda. That's not what he wants. He wants civil disobedience. He wants civil unrest. He wants civil war. So to go and cut off waste, true, pure pork like that, that doesn't serve his purpose. And yet you don't, at the same time, when I say the houses are dysfunctional too, well, shouldn't Boehner and company be out there saying, give them a list? And I mean, and you hear some of the people, different representatives on the shows, it was Rand Paul that I heard talk about the goldfish, who give examples of other pieces of the budget that could easily be cut with no impact. Nobody would even notice the difference because it's all waste. You know what? If you've had to somebody in your household has been laid off, or their hours have been cut, whatever, or even taken a pay cut because of the economy, and now your take home income is less, and now that electric bill, you know what? You may have to do without the air conditioner for a little bit longer than you wanted. You may have to set that air conditioner up higher, the heat up or down lower. These types of things to manage those expenses because you don't have the money to pay it. Are you better off to crank up, turn the AC up a little bit higher so it doesn't go on so much and pay the bill, or are you better to keep it down low and lose your electricity because you can't pay the bill? It's no different at the federal level, except these people, because they believe they are the elitist royalty and that we're the mere peasants out here. They don't seem to understand that they work for us and they are supposed to be guarding our money, not spending it like a bunch of drunken sailors like they do. So tomorrow is going to be interesting. We're going to see what our dear president ends up doing on this and what our senators and our representatives, but it truly is a threat that he is trying to make it sound. The White House occupier is trying to make this sound like the sky is falling when it's not. That just simply isn't the truth. It's all about cutting out the pork and stop supporting your campaign friends, your contributors. Of course, the White House occupier says, well, he's not running for election again, so he doesn't have to worry about those kind of things. And there's two ways of looking at that. Well, that should mean he doesn't have to pay for support someplace along the way, but that's not necessarily the case. But it also means he doesn't care because he doesn't have to get reelected. He's not going to try to get reelected. So to that degree, too. But speaking of getting paid for things, let's see here. Well, something else. There was another article that came out where promoting something, if they made a contribution of like $100,000 or whatever it was, some enormous amount of a contribution to some organization, I believe it was his political campaign PAC or something, that would give them time with the president. So he's selling access to the presidency. That's what it all came down to. And that is not legal either. And I've only heard that reported like two times. The president selling his time. Make a contribution of this much and get to talk to the president or something through this organization. Totally despicable. The sky is not falling tomorrow. And the main thing is Americans have to not fall for the crap they're selling us and contact each one of their elected public servants in the House and the Senate, White House occupier, and say, cut the crap and do your job like you're supposed to for a change. The other thing that I saw, I'm sure several of you have heard it, was in Texas. The C-Scope, I think, was a school that was doing this, C-Scope, and I... some of the students were wearing burqas, and there was supposed to be some international religion thing. They were supposed to be teaching, trying to give kids a little bit of an idea of the different religions across the world, whatever. However, they seemed to focus on Islam more than anything else. They never did talk about Christianity. They did talk about Judaism. But when it came to the Islam, they actually promoted the Muslim 9/11 event somehow as freedom fighters. They weren't terrorists, they were freedom fighters. this is what they were telling these kids, and these kids, they said the kids volunteered to wear the burqas. I don't know. I've heard others saying they were pretty much forced into doing it. I don't know. Don't know what the situation on that was. But can you imagine teaching kids that the people who flew the planes into the World Trade Center were freedom fighters? They wouldn't call them terrorists. Isn't that despicable? It's awful. And then some other kid was getting in trouble for refusing to say the Mexican Pledge of Allegiance in America. Now, you can't force anybody to say the American, our allegiance, Pledge of Allegiance, the American Pledge of Allegiance here in America in a public school, but you can force a kid to say the Mexican one. And it's, we are so confused. We are so messed up. The society, the culture here, we are just in such bad shape. It's unbelievable to me when you really, really think about it. And on that note, let me go ahead and get Mr. Charles Klein in here. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm doing okay. I'm surviving.
All right. It's $500,000 to be able to talk to the president. And from what I've heard is there are people looking into it because Clinton was selling the Lincoln bedroom for $50,000 to raise money for the Democrat Party. This is one of those things where I believe Supreme Court made it possible for organizations to be developed behind the people's back to raise money for the parties and to do wrong to this country. The Supreme Court probably didn't think they were doing anything wrong, but when they went ahead and made that ruling that you can give all kinds of donations to these PACs, then the PACs can give them to the parties, and the parties can use them whatever way they want, they have opened the door to corruption and bribery in our political system. And all of this punitive, what is it they say about the members of Congress, they can do certain things and they are not going to be in violation of the law. What the heck is that one word? It begins with a P. And anyway, there's nothing in the Constitution that exonerates them from any violation of the laws. Bribery is bribery. I don't care if it comes from a PAC or from a person. It is bribery. It is a violation. Failure to read the bills is a violation of the laws of the United States, the fiduciary laws. Nobody is in violation, nobody is in exonerated from that in the Constitution. The Constitution is specific. They shall be impeached on conviction of bribery, felony, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So, all the things that Congress is failing to do, failing to pass a budget, failing to read the bills, is a violation of a law. And fiduciary has been adjudicated by the Supreme Court with Justice Marshall writing the declaration or whatever they call it, that we the people do have a right to sue the United States government, which is what Congress is. We have a right to sue our state government. But people aren't doing it, but people are starting to get wise and starting to make talk about it. Well, today I was able to get on Dennis Miller's show and told him about 18 USCA 241. How many other people have called their local stations to try to get the information out there about 18 USCA 241 conspiracy against rights in regards to the gun ban, where they're trying to ban certain guns from us to knock down our rights to have a militia?
Right.
We have a right to go after Congress because Congress has a right. Although they don't have a right to turn the military on us, but they could very well declare martial law, which would be the same thing. But we have a Congress that's not working for the people anymore. They're working for themselves and working for the special interests. So I'm saying, here is my suggestion that I think we need to take action on. And we need to do it now within the next 2 to 3 months. So if there is a, how would you say, website person that calls in, consider this website, writeincandidate.com or .org or .net. Writeincandidate. And then set it up for every state to put their districts in it. And then every district in every state will put the write-in candidate. Then we will email everybody that we can and tell them to look at their state and vote for the write-in candidate instead of a Democrat or a Republican. And maybe we'll start getting this country turned around to where no party affiliates will sign up, independents will sign up. In fact, we'll just restrict it and say, no, if you belong to the Democrat Republican Party, you can't, no party politics will be allowed in this organization. It's going to be, you're either an American or you're not going to be one of our candidates. I just started thinking about that because if we want to take back our country, that's what we're going to have to do. Because conservatives are not conservatives, but the liberals are liberals. And we have a president who is lying. And we had Richard Nixon resign because he lied. Where's the pressure on this president for lying and all of his subordinates for their lying, including Jay Carney, the Secretary of Education, and all the others? You either take action, ladies and gentlemen, or you're not going to have a country and your kids are not going to have a country. I'm not getting any younger, but I look back and I see this country was beautiful, was wonderful. We had honesty. You no longer have honesty in politics to where it's safe for you to say this is a great country. You have dishonesty and corruption. You have lying, cheating, and thievery. Thievery through the tax system. You have a president who will not make a decision on what to cut. He has no idea what it is to be a president, but the majority of the people, the minor majority of the people, voted for him. The other 50% are suffering because of it. And those of you who voted for him are going to be paying for it because you're a lot younger and you probably received very little education in regards to government and the corruption that is involved in it. So may God have mercy on your future, because you are going to need it. And if you don't turn to God, and you don't turn to honesty and integrity the way this country was designed, you are going to be a communist country. You will be standing in bread lines to get into Publix or Winn-Dixie or your local grocery stores. And you will have to work for a living, and you will be getting paid less than what they're getting paid in China. You will be getting paid just about like I did when I was 1940, 1945, 50 cents an hour as a 12-year-old kid. But if that's the kind of life you want, it's going to happen. And I also suggest that you start taking a look around at those who are receiving welfare. And if they're wearing gold rings and driving a nice car, take that license number down and report it. They're the ones that are taking money from you, the working public. It's time for you to go after them. Because when you start taking action against them, all you have to do is get one or two of them arrested for stealing from the federal government, which are we, the taxpayers. And the word will get out. And a lot of those who are stealing and who have good jobs will quit taking the money. And that will reduce your costs in the future. All right, Sally, you can comment on that. And then,
well, actually, I want to ask you two questions for you before you head off. Thing with Bob, the reporter Bob Woodward, where the White House was threatening him for reporting the truth about the sequestration thing.
Yep.
And then setting the illegals free because of this the thing, too.
I've heard that, okay, on Bob Woodward, they are really talking it up on Fox News. But again, Fox News hasn't said a word about 99-390. They did say something that CBS did say 1 minute of it. But ABC and NBC didn't do anything about it. They are not doing the job that they were told to do, or they're supposed to do, or they're licensed to do, according to the FCC regulations. But people have to start commenting on it, or they have to boycott the two channels. Just say no more ABC, CBS, NBC. Now, as far as the prisoners being released, it was brought up by somebody on Fox News just now that there will be no problem with the air controllers, no problem with the FBI, the police departments, and nobody's going to be released. No criminals are going to be released from prison, illegal aliens. Those were all apparently were scare tactics.
Okay.
Scare tactics is what is coming out to buy the Obama. In fact, the Obama administration, Obama himself, was downplaying it now, stating that this is not going to be a major thing. You won't know. It's going to be like rolling down the hill. And eventually you will see the effects of it. And that also happened with Jay Carney. Almost the same identical wording. I do believe that somebody's getting to them that they have been lying to the people. Now we have to remind them that all of these lies and this hyperbole and this, how would you say this, trying to frighten the hell out of the people, scare the hell out of the people, to get us to put pressure on our elected officials for something that Obama caused, is actually lies. And when you lie to the people and cause them inconvenience, they have actually violated and they have done, are involved, as far as I'm concerned, in a conspiracy against our rights. Our rights to know the truth, our rights to know what's going on in our country. Lying can be considered a conspiracy to cover up the truth. And that's what Obama has been doing. He has failed to even accept the Republicans' idea to let him make the decision on where the cuts will be. He does not want to make a decision for this country.
No.
That's why we lost four people on Benghazi, because he didn't know. He was probably pooping in his pants under his hiding under his desk to avoid being found, because he didn't want to make a decision on what to do, because he doesn't know what to do. The people voted for him because of the color of his skin, not the content of his mind and of his heart. They violated Martin Luther King fully. To the fullest extent. Martin Luther King's speech, "I Have a Dream," has been totally violated by this administration and the Negro culture, or the black culture, whatever you want to call it. But when you take a look at it, and they says, we want to be accepted not by the color of our skin, but by the contents of our heart. You have a heartless president. You voted him in. You voted him in because of the color of his skin, not of the content of his heart for this country and its people. He has been wasting money while you've been suffering. He has been flying all over the place while you've been suffering. $180,000 an hour to fly Air Force One for him. And then we just found out $11.4 million was spent by cabinet members on a Gulfstream that they purchased. All of it was insignificant and not in the best interest of the United States of America, but more like for personal items. This is what has to be cut from the budget, the waste. But until the people decide they want to quit paying these high taxes, they're going to have to get off their butt and start researching and demanding the money be returned. Okay?
Well, that's exactly the truth. It's not that there's we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And these people
are
just...
one other problem. We have a spending problem, and we have a problem of dishonesty in government. We have a total violation of the honest intent of the Constitution of the United States and our founding documents. Because remember, of the 56 founding fathers, 4 were atheists who believed in God's word, 52 were devout Christians, and 26 of those were ordained ministers. So everything in the founding documents by these 56 people who met under the cover of darkness and came up with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, they did so in an honest and of the highest integrity, following God's word. So everything in that Constitution is of honesty. And it will not work when you have a corrupt and dishonest elected official. And I'm saying one official, because they're all going to claim that they're honest in that. But you put all of them together, and you have 536 in Washington, plus all of their appointees who are there for themselves and not for the country. And the people, the other 309 plus million, have to kick them out. And the way to kick them out is to develop an organization called the Write-In Candidate and put people in there who can't afford to run for office but who are willing to work for $72,000 a year, thus saving $108,000 a year per elected official. And that means everybody in that office will then have to take a pay cut. And then we can kick out the unions in our federal government, because we have people in there who are non-union. Because the federal government should never be unionized for clerks, secretaries, and that. They should be just like the average American private sector clerk. Okay?
I will follow up on just a couple of things on that. And I also heard today reported something to the tune of $150 million tax dollars for us to pay for union reps for private companies, nothing to do with government. We actually pay the salaries of union reps for private companies, $150 million. And then, as Charlie was talking about, all the crazy spending they do for the for their own private benefits. These people are so greedy. It's unbelievable the megabucks that they spend on their offices, on the plane flights, and not to mention all the insider trading deals they have going on. These people are just despicable. Charlie, were you going to say something else?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says we the people have to pay for union dues for those who are working for the government. All of this should come out of the tax. All of this should come out of the Congress's pocket. Actually, to me, it's all unconstitutional. But see, the biggest problem is all of this complacency of the people. We can go back and find out why is it that we are having a hard time suing Congress for failure to do their job. We need to go ahead and start filing cases and complaints. And this is what I want to bring to the people's attention, especially for Grandma down in Texas. 18 USCA 241. Would be a perfect one to throw at that school district down there. But also, remember one thing now. They are talking about Islam, burqas. That is a religion according to the Muslims, right?
Islam, yep.
Islam, okay. I hope that Granny goes ahead and gets the information down to the people down there that we have to go after the ACLU and that school principal and bring him to court regarding what he has just done and use him as an example of violation of the separation of church and state. They are now, I've been waiting for this day. This is the perfect opportunity to restore Christianity in the schools. And it needs to be started right now. It just needs to file a complaint with the district attorney's office, like we can do. And this is an idea for anybody across this country, but now we have it. The children were forced to wear burqas. They were teaching them about Muslim and the Islam religion. And also the Judea, our Jewish religion, but not the Christian religion. They're supposed to teach them about different religions. Even Kwanzaa should have been taught. It now comes to be mind that it should be a full course covering all religions equally. In other words, Christian religion and everything, because now they have violated the separation of church and state in that school district and in others. If they got foot baths in the school, that's a violation of the separation of church and state. If they have any Korans in any schools, or they've talked about it, or teachers have talked about it, it's a violation of church and state. So now it's up to we the people to go ahead and file that complaint and say, you did it now. Now we want prayer in school back by the Supreme Court, 100%, just like this country was founded under. We need to do it, and we need to do it fast. And I'm sure that there's some organizations out there like the ADF in Phoenix, Arizona, and also there's Liberty Council here in Longwood, and there's others all over this country. They went ahead and they were forcing the children to learn about foreign religions, mainly Muslim. Now it's time for us to go ahead and say, well, you denied us the freedom of prayer in school since 56. We want it back. You are now violating you have now discriminated against the Christians by allowing that to happen. And nobody has done anything about it. And it's been long enough to where the Supreme Court should have sent down some kind of a dictate to that school to cease and desist. The court should have made sure it was done, and they didn't. That is a perfect opening to restore Christianity in teachings in the schools, prayers and everything. We can have our Christian prayer, and right alongside could be a Muslim student having his prayers. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That's right.
That's right.
What was that bumper sticker about? Don't worry about global warming. How about a global prayer?
Yeah, there's one like that too. Jesus saves and Obama spends.
Yep.
And there's
true.
So many others.
True.
So many. But anyway, this is something that I think we need to really push on, because I was waiting for the door to open, and when they had foot baths in that one school, but it was a Muslim school, as I understand, it wasn't one that had Christians and or Jewish students in it, but it was all strictly Muslim. You can't really stop them from, if it's their own school, from doing what they want, just like a Catholic school. You can't stop them private school, yeah. But when it's a public school, and this was a public school, we now have the grounds to go after them and say, open up the door. Or else you put out an edit right now that no school is allowed to teach anything about Islam or Muslim religions. No foot baths, no nothing. No prayer rugs, no nothing. Because if there's a prayer rug in any school, allowed in any school in the country, it's got to be allowed in all the schools in the country. And therefore, that means prayer goes back in every school in the country. And it can be led by teachers, and it can be led by students. No discrimination, because that is a freedom of speech issue. I believe that that school is doing us a favor. But now it's up to the people to go after it. And I know there's somebody down there who is probably spitting tacks right now listening to me, if she's on.
Damn mad Granny Taft. I haven't seen her out there just yet. I was just checking the chat room. I don't see her yet, but she'll probably be with us, and we'll get back on that subject when she joins us, and she is down there in the heart and soul of Texas.
She's right in there, and okay. I think she, yeah. And I'm sure she has somebody that's there. Like, we could even get Sanders. RYR. I tried to get into my computer today, but I've got a different password, so I turned it off again. At least I made an effort today.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely got to get up and running again.
That's right. Okay.
But okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, on that note, do you want me to mute you, or you got anything else to say?
Well, the whole thing about it is on this protest of new gun control law.
Uh-huh.
Remember, 18 U.S.C.A. 241 is really a statute that the people should actually start making sure that they tell others about. 18 U.S.C.A. 241. Because when I was on the Dennis Miller Show, I did mention the words Feinstein and others are prime suspects.
Right.
If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same, which means he's enjoying them, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Feinstein and those who are developing this bill to violate the constitutional rights of the people is a violation of our laws. And therefore, they have been intimidating us. They're trying to deny us our rights, as in the NDAA, and also in the Patriot Act, which I also mentioned on the Dennis Miller Show. It's time to go after them. They are not above the law, and any law that they take to take away our rights, as granted to us by the Constitution, is an act of attempted treason. Because we, the people, are the sovereign government, and Feinstein is a servant of the people, or a servant of this government. Therefore, she is not the dictator to tell us we cannot have military weapons, because we need, because of the actions, past actions and present actions, especially the present actions of our elected officials by ripping us off at the cash register and now trying to take our guns away, they are actually trying to implement another world war to be that like that of Hitler's war, because he took the guns away, he took the Bibles away, he took the books away, and then he developed internment camps called concentration camps. And then he selectively killed those that he thought were not worthy of living. He tried to become God. And that is a type of Congress I believe we have, I would say maybe 75% of them. Or else maybe we've got 75%, how would you say, uninformed, greedy, dishonest, thoughtless, inconsiderate persons. But they're always working for themselves. And I think it's time that we the people wake up and do what has to be done if you want to have a country again. Because I really look at it this way. Everything points. ABC, CBS, NBC, I now happily refer to them as the news agency task of what could eventually be the beginning of a communist America, because they are covering up the wrongs of Congress and the administration. They are not giving the people the news that the people are deserving of, and they are using the people's airwaves. They are in total violation of FCC 99-390. Okay, Sally, back to you.
Okay. Okay.
And
the one of the things. Okay, let me do that. Before I start talking about the toll road thing and what happened when I went to AAA yesterday, I want one last thing to kind of put in there, because Charlie was talking about the political parties earlier too, and it's all definitely part of this discussion. Glenn Beck's got a survey out there, so taking those that are the Republicans who are red and asking people to say, what are they really? what do they really qualify as? Are they a constitutionalist? Are they a conservative, meaning they vote for the conservative values no matter what, regardless of the Constitution kind of thing? Are they a Republican that pretty much follows the Constitution, but they do whatever the Republican Party tells them? We call them sheeples here. Or are they rhinos? They're just they're registered Republicans, but they do they're liberal progressives kind of thing. So that was kind of interesting. And he had, you know, the key Republican people out there: Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, John Boehner, and a few others out there. Newt Gingrich was out there, Jim DeMint. Some of these people that are considered to be conservative, Republican, whatever, but what are they really? So that was kind of interesting. If you get a chance, go out there and go participate in the survey, and because I'm kind of curious where it all falls out. Needless to say, let's see, I voted Rand Paul as a constitutionalist. He, you know, he's constitutionalist borderline. Doing some little by little, following more of what the Republican Party is doing. Get a little bit concerned on that, even though he claimed his reason for voting for Hegel was strictly constitutional. So I got to look back at that one, but he's definitely the most constitutional I know out there. And then the majority of the other ones I voted as Republicans and rhinos. They might be registered as Republicans. They may truly, you know, in their heart and soul, they might be conservative, but they do whatever the Republican Party tells them. They're just a Republican sheeple. And then, of course, we know there's a lot of rhinos out there who don't truly stand for anything constitutional or small government stuff, which is constitutional. The other thing, let's see, in that same vein, it's you got Glenn Beck, Mike Savage, Alex Jones. These are three key radio shows out there, people on the conservative side, who are all saying the GOP is history. They don't believe the GOP is going to survive another election, and that needs to be replaced with something else. So they don't think it can be saved. So that's kind of interesting too. And on that note, we will get into the transportation and the toll road issue. And as everybody knows, I have been out there. AAA, the American Automobile Association. And I'm going to read a statement from their mission statement. It's actually their mission statement. Let's see, you can go to their website. It says, About Us, Our History. And this is www.aa.com/jobs/our history. But anyway, at the turn of the century, only an estimated 23,000 motor vehicles were registered in the United States, compared to 17 million horses. Roads were treacherous and driving restrictive. Vehicles unreliable at best and scorned by owners of horse-drawn carriages or targeted for unfair traffic laws. Fortunately, it began to change in 1902 when delegates from 9 independent motor clubs representing fewer than 1,000 members came together in Chicago to form the American Automobile Association. Its mission was simple: to combat unfair traffic laws and campaign for better roads and more reliable vehicles. That is what AAA is supposed to do. To combat unfair traffic laws, campaign for better roads and more reliable vehicles. Now, think about it. When was the last time you heard AAA truly campaigning for better roads and more reliable vehicles? You never hear them in the news. They have their little surveys out here and there, and they scatter them about, and all their surveys show that the people oppose toll roads, but that's all they ever do. They take a survey and say, yeah, people don't like it. What the average cost of gas was AAA does some reporting on the average cost of gas across the country and how many people expect to travel over the weekend or over a holiday weekend kind of thing. That's what I hear them do. That's not serving the members. That's not campaigning for better roads. So AAA has definitely failed its members. And, I mean, they have had different campaigns than some isolated areas or so. But in the past, they were much more pro-members, pro-motorist. But now they just ignore it. Yesterday, here in Orland Park, Florida, they had what they were calling a membership appreciation event, okay? And it was to bring people in, have a few giveaway drawings kind of thing, and share information with them, share the different discounts that they have, make sure they understand all the benefits of being a member. And then, of course, I want to see if you want to buy auto insurance. And you know what? Hey, if they sell auto insurance for cheaper to their members, whatever, you know, that's okay with me. I don't have a problem with that. But that was definitely a piece of it. Of course, that wasn't my purpose for going to it. My purpose was to bring out this very fact. Wait a minute. You said it's your mission to combat unfair traffic laws and campaign for better roads and more reliable vehicles. So why, I haven't heard AAA say one thing about the tolls on I-4 or the tolls on I-95 or the tolls on I-75, the tolls across this countryside. You got over 50 million members. So I pretty much gave an earful to this the lady who was the manager of this office. She was very polite and nice. She listened. I have some contact information, so I'm going to be And I said, you know, why aren't you guys doing anything about this? When you call and ask AAA, do they oppose tolls? They always say, oh, yeah, we oppose them. Sure. And that's all they say. Sure, we oppose them. Go pay it. So the campaign is, and I'm going to do what I can. It may take me a month or two to get this thing. I already know I'm getting some of it spread out across the countryside. I've got people up in North Carolina, South Carolina. I've got people in Texas, even some stuff coming out of Ohio from some. So it's getting out there little by little, but we have to put the pressure on AAA to truly be an advocate for its 50 million-plus members. And I did stress that point to her. I said, you guys have 50 million members. You don't think you ought to be doing something to help them? This is hurting all of us. It's hurting all of your members, and it's hurting everybody in this country, all because they want to sell our public infrastructure to foreign entities. It's wrong. And I also stress the fact that public-private partnerships violate the state constitution. And at that point, I asked her, I said, I see you guys sell the transponders for the state. And she says, yes, we do that as a service for the members. And then I did ask, I said, well, what kind of arrangement do you have? How much money do you guys make off it? And she said they made absolutely nothing off it. And I said, okay, well, that's good. So we're strictly providing it as a service to members, nothing else. And I said, okay. And so to that degree, they're not profiting in that same sense, even though there's probably still a partnership there that's not proper, but at least because to that degree, the state's making money off it. So it's still not 100%, but at least I can say AAA was not profiting by selling these toll, at least that's what I'm being told, the transponders for the toll SunPass here in Florida. But and I got into it with her talking about, do you understand what the true cost of these toll roads are? I said, do you realize that they're selling these to foreign entities, selling our infrastructure to foreign corporations? And, you know, she openly admitted, so, well, I guess I don't know as much about toll roads as I probably need to. I said, yeah. And I said, you know, the thing is, I had someone from AAA called me. They expressed an interest, but then I never heard another word. And I said, again, every time I call, I'm always told you oppose them, but I don't see you doing anything. And that's wrong. You're supposed to be an advocate for us. If you would get your 50 million people out there, your 50 million members, you tell them that you're going to go out there and fight these tolls, we can shut this down. And I truly believe that. 50 million motorists getting pissed off about this, on top of all the other ones, the 50 million members, plus the rest of us, and I'm a member too, I should say, and so we could definitely shut this down. It wouldn't take that long. Let's see, what was the other thing that's in here? Recently, AAA celebrated its 108th year anniversary from its beginning as the motorists ally to today's wide range of service organizations. AAA has remained committed to serving the needs of its members. You need to oppose the tolls if you care about your members. And then the other is key initiatives to enhance member services include strategic travel alliances with Disney, Hertz, as well as other major air, tour, cruise, blah, blah, blah. Research and development on vehicle assistance and navigation devices. State-of-the-art trip planning software. They do a lot of that kind of stuff. TripTick is what one's called. Convenient 24/7 club access through the web. And then the and many more initiatives on the horizon. So they do sorts of things to try to make travel less expensive and easier and things like that. That's fine. And that's, again, they're an automobile association. That's what they should be doing. Then, it says, over the years, AAA has been recognized as the nation's leading provider of emergency road service and automotive-related expertise, the world's leading publisher of travel information, and one of the world's largest leisure travel agencies, one of the fastest-growing financial products and services organizations in the United States. That's important to think of, because that's when I say, are they an insurance company, or are they an automobile association? When do they take one takes over the other? Is it more? Are they more focused on their financial products versus the other? Fastest growing financial products and services organization in the United States. A top performer in the life insurance industry, another insurance product. So are they truly now, are they still truly an automobile association, or are they an insurance agency? Then this last one, which is the other one that's going to say, not quite. One of the most active advocates for the welfare of the traveling public. No. And, I mean, I say that across the board. I mean, they, as far as doing some of these other things, maps and things like that, okay, sure. That's not being an advocate. That's providing a service. But I mean, I've really never heard AAA say anything about the TSA issue. That's traveling public. It's not highway, but traveling for the traveling public. And they definitely have been totally silent on what's happening with the highway infrastructure. Totally silent. I never hear them say. I've never heard them oppose the bridges to nowhere. You know, they never go out there and report the facts, which is something I have posted out there on their website and their letter to the editors and some various websites out there saying, you know, first off, you're not out there advocating against the toll roads. You're not helping us fight it. Then you're not even reporting the truth. You're not reporting the truth about what it really costs and what's really happening with the money. AAA should be out there saying the federal government is wasting in state, you know, they do it both levels, federal and state. They're wasting billions of dollars on high-speed trains to nowhere, on bridges to nowhere, on goldfish behavior, while they're telling you they don't have money for your roads. They do have money for the roads. It's a lie that they don't have money for the roads. It just all depends on who they want to give it to. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about self-service. And AAA seems to be perfectly okay with that. They're not going to ruffle the feathers of these governmental entities. Why? Probably because they sell insurance in these states. That's my own personal opinion. If they go out there and start causing too much commotion, they're going to get hounded about their licensing for in selling insurance and all these other things. Because now they, in insurance, selling insurance and financial products and stuff like that, it is such a hassle because of the way the regulations are and because of the way the different states do things. They probably, they're on their best behavior so that they don't get hounded on that. It's more important for them to sell insurance than it is to be an advocate for the motorist. And, I mean, that's my personal belief based on what I've seen them do. Because they, all they got to do is start reporting. Can you imagine what would happen if they sent us a newsletter out to their members talking about, contact your representative and tell them they have this much money they're wasting on this that they could put on bridges to nowhere when they should be fixing widening I-95 on wherever, I-95 just about every place, without toll roads, without the toll taxes. They should be out there notifying all of their members that they're selling off to foreign corporations. America is being sold off. They should be telling people that. They don't do it. So they're not an advocate for the motorist. They don't talk about the other piece that they could do so easily. You know that AAA knows what the gas taxes are for every state and county and whatever, municipality, the federal gas tax, the state gas tax, the county, everything to do with that piece. And they could tell you, here's how much it costs you per mile on the toll road. They could raise the state tax or the federal, whichever it may be, but to say the state tax for the state interstate piece of it, by this much money and raise that same amount of money and would only cost you this much. And for an average driver in a year, it would cost you this much. Instead of paying $100 to $200 a month in toll taxes, you could pay a couple $100 a year in increased gas taxes if, in fact, it's needed. They should be doing that comparison and educating their members. They don't do it. Why don't they do it? Again, to me, it's all because of conflict of interest. They're too worried about their insurance business and their financial services. These are things they should be telling people, though. The other aspect of it, registration fees. If they truly need this money, which, again, that's a big question, do they truly need the money? Should they be using our Transportation Highway Trust Funds, keyword is trust funds, to be building high-speed rails to nowhere, to silly commuter rail, scam rail systems like they have here in Central Florida? They should be telling people, here's where your transportation dollars are going. You need to get on the phone with your representatives and say this is wrong. Get everybody out there bombarding them with that. And they could make a difference. And again, if they truly believe, if they can show that, well, we really do see a need for the money because of this and this and this, and give you the statistics, you say, you know what, if they would pay $5 more a year, or say, when you go to register your car, let there be a $5 highway fee, highway improvement fee tax, which is what it is, a tax, highway fee, just $5 to every motorist in the state, they would raise so much money. $5 a year versus spending a couple $100 a month in tolls. They try to act like, well, those who use the roads the most. Well, if you own an automobile, you pay the service for that, or you go back to the pump. Because the most efficient user fee is the gas tax. It's based on, one, if you use a fuel-efficient car, you'll save money. If you use a gas guzzler, you'll waste money. You'll spend more. But it's based on how much you drive. And it's also the lowest cost, less than 1% collection compared to 20% collection of toll roads. Not to mention all those government employees who get hired who all end up having pension plans. This is a superficial way to create jobs. That's another reason why the government does it. They want to pretend that they're creating jobs. Yes, we're going to put an IRS toll booth out in the middle, so we're hiring more tax collectors to stick out on a highway. Because we want more of your tax dollars, so we're going to put a bunch of tax collectors stuck on the highway. AAA doesn't want to tell anybody this. They don't want to share this. AAA could make such a big impact on this toll road issue within 6 months, if they cared. But they don't. They have abandoned the motorist at the toll booth. And they're going to keep abandoning us at that toll booth unless the members take action. And please, with that being said, call AAA. The AAA national number for their advocacy group is 407-444-7000. 407-444-7000. I will put that in the chat room in just a minute. But you have got to do it. If you oppose tolls, if you oppose increased taxes, and by the way, Tea Partiers, a toll is a tax. Some of you Tea Partiers seem to get confused on this. Toll is a four-letter word for tax. So if you're taxed enough already, then you should not be supporting tolls. I have heard a couple of Tea Partiers who didn't seem to understand a toll was a tax. And not to mention that you're already paying three gas taxes. They're using your transportation taxes for horse paths in parks or wherever. They're using them for bike paths. And personally, to me, when it comes to a regular bicycle is not safe on an interstate. They're not allowed. But when you're down on the secondary roads, the right lane should always be made slightly wider to accommodate a bicycle. I think the stupidest thing they do is put a bicycle path on them, a designated bicycle path or lane, if you will, because it makes people have a very false sense of security in that lane because you still have cars there. And, the thing is, if you're coming up to a turning lane, that bicycle better pay attention to what the cars are doing, too. You can't. It's both. And depending on the road, it's not very safe. They really, truthfully to me, the bike path should be off of the road, more to do with the sidewalk, something similar with a sidewalk. And then the people on bicycles have to follow the same rules. They don't seem to think, and I can't tell you here in Florida how many times I see people on bicycles running the red light. No one stops them. Yeah, you're supposed to stop at the red light too. And I mean, I can appreciate two reasons why people are out there on a bike. One, they don't like the cars. They think it's better for them, it's healthy, whatever they want to do. Or two, they don't have a car, they can't afford one, or whatever. And there's a variety of reasons why somebody would be riding a bike versus driving a car, or not old enough to have a car, whatever. But you still have to know how to follow the rules. You still have to stop at the red light. You still have to turn the way you're supposed to. But they don't do that. And what they do on these, to get what they do for bike paths, what they claim to be doing, that is just so crazy. It's dangerous. It doesn't help. And then this other piece, and I do see Ms. Texas out there, so she'll let me know if she wants to join in the conversation, but we're going to talk about transportation and Agenda 21 and sustainable development. And anybody that knows anything about Texas, I mean, Florida and Texas, it is kind of interesting. These two states neither have a state income tax, but they both have gone overboard with toll taxes. And this was something I also mentioned while I was at AAA yesterday. I'm explaining to this lady, says, you know, the people who use these toll roads going back and forth to work every day, they are paying $100 to $200 a month in toll taxes. So do you realize that's more than some places pay for a state income tax? So Florida may not have a state income tax, but it has a toll tax, which for many people is the same thing. Now, you can go and say, well, you don't have to use the toll roads and all this stuff, which is true, and I don't. Charlie, well, he might want to chime in on that one, but he knows I don't use the toll roads. And I know many people who agree with me that the tolls are wrong, but they still use the toll roads. And I said, well, but, you know, it just depends on how committed you are to your opposition. If you truly believe it's wrong, then you should do your best to not support it. By supporting it, you only make it worse. You can ask many people who know me. I don't use them. I go for the other alternative. I use them only if I absolutely have no choice, have no idea how to go any other route or something. Because that's the way I just think it's wrong. And I'm not going to support what I think is so wrong. It's wrong in every which way. It increases everybody's cost of living. It takes advantage of lower income people. It's truly a very regressive tax. Those of lower income are actually excluded from using the more efficient expressway system. Expressway systems are better when it comes to fuel efficiency for cars. I hear people talk about travel time and all this other stuff. Well, expressways are the better time, should be, the better time until you get them to a toll booth and you're stuck there for 2 hours trying to get through it. And so everything to do with the toll issue is wrong. It's just totally wrong. And there are people out there, and I'm going to see if I can find this one article. Congressman up in Ohio was fighting the governor, Kasich up there, because he was trying to put a toll on a road. And they were saying it didn't need it to begin with. And it really truly looked like this was Kasich trying to give money to a special interest, trying to wheel and deal to get, I believe it was $1.5 billion off of a highway by selling off part of the highway to this foreign corporation to get money into the state. It wasn't for transportation. It was just to get money. This is what they're doing. AAA, where are you? Why aren't you talking about this? And I'll try to find that congressman's name so you can contact them. We all need to come together. There's plenty of us who oppose the toll roads for all the right reasons, because they're wrong. We oppose them selling off the infrastructure to foreign entities. And then the other piece of this, which again goes back to the Agenda 21, sustainable development. You ask the question, why are they doing this? There's a couple of reasons. One, we have a bunch of self-serving, greedy politicians who could not care less about the people of this country or their states. When promote the general welfare, it's kind of interesting. Somehow, giving individuals a cell phone free of charge is promoting the general welfare, but making sure the infrastructure is sound for everybody, which supports the economy and everything else, that's not promoting the general welfare. Yes, it is. The highway system cannot be provided by the private sector. There is no competition. How many interstate fours can you have going through Florida? You can't. You don't have. How many restaurants do you have in Florida? There's a big difference. You can't. You don't have that kind of competition. So it's not right. And why did they do this, though? It's easy money. The politicians, if the politician would be honest, which, you know, it's illegal for a politician to tell the truth. We've all seen that. If the politician would come to the individual, the taxpayers, and say, here's what's happening, here's the cost of this. We're not going to spend money on studying goldfish because we need to fix the roads. And even when we stop spending money on goldfish, we're still running short on the money for the roads. And this is why. Here's how much we need. And it will be much cheaper if we add this much to a gas tax versus going into this. But we assure you, which is another, we assure you the gas tax goes for the highways, which isn't happening today either. Then we could take care of this problem very easily. But that's if the politicians would actually do the right thing. They're not going to do the right thing unless we hold them accountable for it. And we have the right to do that. Charlie talked about that earlier. They work for us. Tell them to quit ripping us off. Tell them to quit wasting billions of dollars on trains to nowhere. Tell them to quit wasting billions of dollars on bridges to nowhere, highways to nowhere. All these things they do for their buddy friends, political friends, family members, family lobbyists, political contributors, whatever. They're screwing us over while they keep doing this. So that's the easy one. That's why they do that. But what's the other piece of this? Public-private partnerships. Sustainable development. Public-private partnerships, they're selling off this country. Those, the liberal progressives who truly believe in one world government, this is the way they do it. They keep gnawing at us and sacrificing us every which way. And it's all because they want to go and have one world order, one world government. The United Nations says it is Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. Go out there and read it for yourself. Don't listen to me. Go out there and you will see. It says the personal automobile is not sustainable. Hey, AAA, where are you? Do you really think the individual, the American individual, should not be allowed to own a personal automobile? Are you going to say something about it, or are you just going to keep sitting there doing nothing for your members? That is part of sustainable development. They claim it is not sustainable for the individual to own personal transportation. They want you on the bike path. They want you out of the cars. They're going to do what they can to make it too expensive for the mere peasants, such as myself. I am a average, typical citizen. I am not wealthy. So they're going to do what they can to take away my right to travel about this country as I want to. Same is true mass transit. Mass transit is a way to control the transportation, the movement of people. You take away the guns, you take away the transportation. It's all part of it. And many people don't understand that is all part of it. That is all part of this process. One world order, one world government. It was George Bush Sr. who said it back in 92. A new world order. We are coming upon a new world order. He believes in one world government. So does the Bush family. That's why George Bush Jr., George W., was entering into the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America. And what was that? It was an executive order. He, too, abused executive orders. It was an executive order to dissolve the borders between Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. He was trying to form the North American Union. Go out there and check the facts. He signed it. George Bush, George W. Bush, George Jr., he signed it back in 2005. It was supposed to be enacted in 2010. Didn't quite make it. Everything else was, the economy was collapsing. Everything else was going nuts. So people were fighting even more so about the illegal entry into this country on the borders. So not a whole lot happened to make, even though it's still underway. They haven't totally stopped it because of the immigration issue and things like that. It's not being well received, let's put it that way. They've kind of covered it up and hushed up on it. But this was being done, and you can go out there and look at it. Do a search on North American Union. Do a search on Security Prosperity Partnership of North America. It was George Bush who did it, and that's what it was for. And again, I ask, where's AAA? Now, of course, when it comes to the border thing, okay, they can say that's not them. But this border, and again, Miss Texas, I'm sure she's going to chime in here at some point, talk about what they're doing in Texas. Go to Rick Perry and his toll road thing. The superhighway. The superhighway was part of SPP. Superhighway from Mexico all the way up to Canada. And those people would have to not stop for any kind of customs, come and go through this country as they see fit, with no barriers. North American Union. Toll road. Trans-Texas Corridor. Or Texas Trans Corridor, whichever. And that was Rick Perry. Rick Perry was, and he's still doing it. And they actually did pass legislation in the state of Texas to say that they had to get approval for toll roads. But he's playing some kind of game on that now, too, trying to bypass that. So even when the people say no, they play all these games to manipulate the people. And again, I say AAA is supposed to be the advocacy. They're supposed to help their members know what's going on in this stuff. They have the money, they have the power, they have the size, they have over 50 million members. I heard over 50 million members in the U.S., and then I heard a number of over 53 million members between the U.S. and Canada. They have a very, very large base. So what's their excuse? And again, please call 407-444-7000 and tell them you want to know why they are not opposing the tolls, why they are disregarding and not supporting their members the way they're supposed to. And do they truly think it's okay to sell off public infrastructure to foreign entities? And I was posting some information in a... in the AAA letters to the editor, it's a little blog kind of thing. You can post questions and whatever else out there. And I've been posting a lot of things on the toll road. And this one guy, I think it's a guy, Justin, he just kept coming back and saying, well, if you would spend all your effort worrying about the homeless and the veterans and this and that, you know, we would be so much better off. You're just, why are you doing this? What is the point of doing this? What is your point? And, of course, he didn't answer the question when I asked him if he worked for AAA or if he, in fact, worked for the toll associations, because there's plenty of them out there, toll road companies. He didn't answer that question. But I did try to explain to him that the public infrastructure is critical to our country in so many ways. Tried to give him a lesson about the fact it's part of the national defense. Okay, our infrastructure, that interstate highway system, was designed with the military in mind, that it had to support military vehicles and be used to properly move the military as needed in an emergency. Do you really think you should be destroying that infrastructure? Selling off the infrastructure to foreign entities. They call them leases. It's a 99-year lease routine. It's a public-private partnership, which, by the way, is the collusion of the government and the private sector. Do you understand about socialism and communism, where the private sector and the government are all one big happy family? The collusion of government and the private sector? Socialism? Communism? Agenda 21, One World Order, it's all related, people. It's all part of the same thing. And then again, I attempted to explain to this person, and they said they were, I guess one more thing here, let me back up. I invited this person to call into the show tonight to debate me on the issue. In their response on the blog, they said they didn't need to talk to me. I said, well, I'm not too surprised you wouldn't debate me, but they might try to listen in on the show. So if you're out there listening, please feel free to call in and ask a question, 347-857-4364. It's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. That way I know you want to comment on something. And then share why you think toll roads are such a good deal, why you think toll roads are efficient, because I can sure give you so much information that shows it's the most expensive and ineffective way to raise money for roads. It's a beast. It has nothing to do with making the road system better. It has nothing to do with providing the service for the public. And the other part was in his comments about the homeless and veterans, I did ask, maybe AAA does something for veterans. I don't know. I haven't asked them, but they definitely could. Excuse me. They definitely could do things to help veterans with mobility, but I don't know what they do. When it comes to homelessness, you know, yes, there's a problem for the homeless, but I don't think AAA is that vehicle to address it. I don't see AAA doing something for homeless. So I'm going to AAA because I'm talking about transportation issues and the toll roads. This person seemed to get these things kind of confused. The other aspect of it is, Meals on Wheels is helping elderly and disabled people who have limited mobility. And how do they get to Grandma's house? Oh, yeah, they get there on the road. So, yes, the roads support everyone. It doesn't matter whether you drive or not. The plumber gets to Grandma's house on the road. And other emergency vehicles, whether it be a fire, whether it be law enforcement, whether it be an ambulance, they get there on the roads. These are things everybody shares for. And for those of us who drive, we pay the most because we pay the gas tax. It's nothing but a scam to put the toll road on there. To put a toll tax on there is nothing but highway robbery and a scam against us. And it's against the small businesses, too. It hurts everyone. This isn't just my personal budget that sacrifices if I try to use these toll roads, which, like I say, I don't. But to take $100 to $200 away from every family household, and, you know, and if there's two people who work in that household and they both drive to and from work using those toll roads, plus whatever they might do in their regular commuting, that's going to be at least $200, $300 a month. That's money they took away from what they would have spent with their family in the local economy. $300 a month is a lot of money to me. Now, if you're an elitist and you're rich and $300 doesn't mean squat to you, Donald Trump routine, you know, I understand you don't appreciate it. But for the rest of us out here, it does make a difference. $300 a month times 12 months, how much is that for our state income tax? You go out there and figure out how much that would be. $3,600. And who says Florida doesn't have a state income tax? Yeah, we do. It's called a toll tax if you pay for it. And I feel sorry for those who feel like they do. But in the small businesses, I've known the electricians, plumbers, landscaping companies, these individuals who all travel about to do their work, travel to provide services, they either have to limit themselves to one side of town, or they lose time or money if they try to go on the expressways, the toll roads. It costs them landscaping companies like $1,400-$1,500 a month because of the trailers, the truck and their trailer. That's a lot of money to go back and forth, and this is eating up their profits. It's terrible. It's the wrong thing to do. It's wrong for our economy. It's wrong for our quality of life. It's wrong for transportation. It doesn't improve transportation. Central Florida would not have a transportation problem right now if they took the tolls off of most of these roads. If they would focus on removing the tolls off the 408, off the 417, the 429, the 489, 589, I mean, 528, and their promise is we're going to put tolls on all new roads. They're not going to build another freeway. We're going to screw you out of every dime we can get out of you. And every lane we add, we're going to put a toll on it, and it's going to be a public-private partnership. That's what they say. That's what they have told us. That is what they believe. But we have to stop it, and we need AAA. And just for those of you who don't know, the AAA national headquarters is in Lake Mary, Florida, right next to I-4. There is a little driveway road between I-4 and that headquarters. AAA is looking over I-4 where they're getting ready to put the tolls. On that note, let me bring Ms. Texas into this conversation. Howdy.
Howdy. How are y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing fine. How are you doing tonight?
Fair to middling, but I could say I was doing great and I got over it, one or the other. Either one did. I just thought it was something about the toll roads. You know, initially, you know, toll roads started out, I think, in the north. It had to be in the northeast because I'd never heard of a toll road till I was a kid, and we went to someplace, went through South Carolina or one of those, and they had a toll road, and I learned what a toll road was. But initially, the toll road started out for the states that didn't have the industry or the population to be able to afford to put these freeways in for the tax revenue. And they were put in as toll roads so that the tolls would be collected to repair the toll roads. In other words, that's how they were going to maintain them. If they put just regular freeway in there, they didn't have the funds or the funding to be able to maintain a freeway. Well, if people would stop and think about what they're doing now, the government does not own the toll road. Florida will not own that toll road. They are having it brought in by an outside entity. Now, my question is, do people think that these people went into the toll road business just for the hell of going into the toll road business?
Nope.
I mean, think about it.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. They're going to make money. So you're not paying the lowest possible fee that you could be paying on that toll road in order for them to collect enough funds to make repairs to it as is needed over the years. You're paying an exaggerated fee so that the Spanish company that built the toll road can put our money in their pockets.
That's exactly it. And they have the right to raise the rates. when they first put the stuff in, they typically go out there and give them like a year or two before they can really start. They play games with this pricing. But at the end of the day, the toll authority can charge you whatever they want to on those tolls. And when the road is busiest, they can charge you more. So the and you think about what that means, congestion pricing, as they like to call it. So at rush hour, when you need that extra lane the most, they're going to charge you the most because they're going to screw you out of that money the most. That is
just
what they're
like,
doing. It's not about transportation.
Just like the gas companies do right now, it's getting time for spring break, and the gas prices across the United States is going up. Why? Not because the gas is costing them anymore, but because they know more people are going to be on the highway, therefore they can jack the prices up.
But with the gas, while you still have a, I'll still say, a limited market competition, there are different chains for gas stations, and they can be somewhat competitive with the pricing if they would. But we truly know they're all in cahoots with each other and they charge the same price across the board. But that's not, in a free market, that's not really supposed to happen. But here we have tax dollars to subsidize them while we let them happen. But when it comes to the toll roads, it's not like you have a choice to go out there and pick the best road. It's not like you get to say, well, God, today I'm going to pay this much money because the traffic's going to go so fast on this one and there's not going to be any potholes and all this other stuff. All you have to do is look at the Florida Turnpike to figure that one out. It's not like you truly have a choice of 50 different roads you can pick, not like how many restaurants there are in Orlando or wherever. It's not the same thing. You don't have that same kind of competition. And in the case of these toll roads, tax dollars fund them, and then they let them make all this money off us. People are making money off of the taxpayers. And the same when you talk about the private entities wanting it. Yeah, I think it's interesting that the private sector wants to buy up the toll roads, but they don't want to buy stupid high-speed rail. I wonder why.
Well, because the state knows that the majority of the people who are paying taxes are uneducated people. I'm not going to say uneducated. Take that back. Bite my tongue, you racy race. Uninformed.
Yeah.
They are uninformed. And they don't realize that our land is being sold off for these real pretty highways to be put in, and they don't understand that money is not going to do anything to help the highways or any other part of your state. It's all going into the private partnership.
Right. It's highway robbery.
Well, they don't tell them either that it's a private company that's going to put in the road, that's going to own the road, and the state doesn't really have any control over it. At least that's the case here in Texas.
Well, in
here, they do not control the tolls here in Texas.
No. No. That's because it's a private sector. It's the collusion of government and the private sector, and then they go and surrender the rights. And the private sector can charge whatever they want and screw us out of the money, even though our tax dollars paid for right-of-way and paid for construction.
Well, I haven't figured out what the state or what the states are getting out of these toll roads. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. What is the reasoning that makes logical sense to them that this is the right thing to do? So they've got to be making money somewhere.
Well, there's two ways that I look at it on that one. One, they divert funds out of their trust fund, their highway trust fund. They divert it into the general fund all the time. And if they can charge you a toll tax to pay for the roads, then they can keep taking the gas money and use it for other stuff. The other thing is, which is going on in Ohio right now, and this is what happened over in Indiana with Mitchell, too. Mitchell, Daniels, Mitchell, whatever his name was. But they go out there and they sell that highway to this private entity, and what they're trying to do right now in Ohio is sell a expressway up there for $1.5 billion to the tolling agency for the tolls, and then they're going to take that $1.5 billion. It's not going to be for more roads. It's going to be for their general budget because they're financially broke. So they're trying to they're selling off public assets because of the accounting, the bankruptcy, whatever you want to call it, fiscal irresponsibility of the individual states. So they're doing it that way. at the same time they are, you know, doing all sorts of deals with the private investors who they may or may not like. And I personally believe here in Florida, if I could do a true audit, I have a feeling I would find if you go through the tolling agencies, the tolling corporations who do all this stuff, follow the money trail and see if these people, public officers, elected public servants, aren't in there someplace getting their bite of the money, if they are not an investor in it someplace along the way. So it's a scam against us in so many different ways.
Exactly.
That's why definitely part of the thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Perry's going to have a fine on his hands when it comes back to trying to put a toll on 281 again, which he plans on doing.
How much longer is that guy going to be in office in there?
Oh, hell, he's planning on running again.
Oh, geez.
He just reelected. Be a year or so ago. And he's talking about running again, but I think his bubble's going to get deflated. Unless, of course, then we've got all these illegal, 36,000 more illegal immigrants that were put on the streets yesterday.
Okay, now Charlie was talking earlier. He said they didn't get released, and I thought I heard that they were getting released.
Oh, yes, they did. They showed pictures of them on TV being released. 36,000 because they claimed that they had to do it because they were over capacity, and that with the layoffs they're going to come from the this budget thing, that because of the layoffs they wouldn't have enough people to take care of them. Well, come to find out, it wasn't necessary. They had 4,000 beds that weren't even being used.
This, oh, my goodness.
This was done by Obama's bunch, scare tactics on the people. Let's scare the people. Let's turn these illegal immigrants loose. Make people, scare the hell out of people so they'll raise hell to stop this. It's not working.
Well, Charlie was saying earlier that, and I haven't listened to any of the news today. I've been working. I haven't heard anything. Something about Obama, and I call him the White House occupier. The White House occupier has been trying to backpedal a little bit or downplay some of this, and because he was saying that they did not release these illegals, but obviously that's not quite not 100% accurate. Who knows where they did or didn't?
Everything I've heard today is that they did. Everything I heard yesterday was that they did, and now no one knows who gave the order.
How convenient.
No one knows who gave the order for them to release the illegal immigrants.
I heard something
about
Janet.
He didn't
Janet
do it, whatever her name that is, saying
they
didn't do it. ISIS saying they didn't do it. So we figured, you know, some little peon up there made up their mind they need to open the gates, so they just did it, and nobody told them to do it.
And they're not going to worry about who this peon was because they just don't want them to be blamed, and it's going to be okay if they violated their authority to go and do such a thing. We all know it was the White House occupier.
Well, it was the White House occupier. I mean, he can be on that jet wherever he wants to go, but they had such a thing as a telephone.
He seems to be clueless about what's happening in our country, but he sure is traveling about on his world tour and campaign of BS.
Well, he doesn't want, you know, he doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to be a president. He just wants to be a campaigner. And that's what
right.
he's doing. That's what makes him happy, that and playing golf.
Yep, that's the truth.
Oh, and going to Hawaii.
Exactly. Let me read something real quick here, getting on the toll stuff. Congressman questions Governor Kasich's financial plan for Ohio Turnpike. U.S. Representative Tim Ryan, Democrat, Ohio, says Governor John Kasich's plan to borrow $1.5 billion against the value of the Ohio Turnpike attempts to fix a problem that does not exist. Ryan says the bond plan is no better than the previous proposal by Kasich to lease the turnpike to private investors. So this is Kasich's way of raising $150 billion for his state at the expense of the motorists. And it's all for the private sector, private investors. That's that one.
Well, they should have fired the person in charge of their budget. They should have been watching more closely what the hell was being spent and what was being brought in, instead of just hiring cronies that don't know squat about what they're doing.
Well, I mean, but all the states are no different than the federal government on this crap, except in theory they're supposed to balance their budget every year. But just like here in Florida, look what Rick Scott did last week. Signing on to the Medicaid expansion thing, whatever, and as the another rhino is what he turns out to be, really, is like saying, well, the thing is, that's the money that the state doesn't have and the federal government's going to pay for it. Well, he's the same one signing on all these toll roads, pushing toll roads all over the place. You know, it's just so despicable what these people do. It's despicable.
And what amazes me is they forget to realize they act as though Washington, that money that is sitting up there that they're getting, is Washington's to be giving away, and it's not. It belongs to the taxpayers of his state and this country. And we need to have a bigger hand in how the hell this money is spent. Now we're going to do that? I don't know. Put a gorilla up there.
Well, and, you know, that's the whole point. If these governors who claimed, and, you know, Rick Scott was big out there opposing Obamacare until all of a sudden he crawls, you know, caves in like this because he's a rhino. But he was so against it. All it had to do was enough states have to block the exchanges, and it would bring Obamacare to its knees. There's no way it can support it without this exchange program and all this other nonsense that they're all buying into. So, and they're claiming that the federal government's going to pick up the tab for 3 years, and then 90% for 3 years, or whatever, and then whatever it is. It's all nonsense. It's all total nonsense.
Well,
the thing is even more so is these state governments are surrendering state sovereignty to the federal government.
Well, you know, I look at that guy this way. He knew when he was running that what he was telling y'all was crap. That's just like Perry. He knew when he was running, everything that flowed out of his mouth was a lie. He said what he had to say to get elected.
And I believe in the beginning, because when he was first running to be elected, it had not gone through the Supreme Court yet. Scott hasn't been reelected, and I hope, like heck, he doesn't get reelected, because I know I won't vote for him. But in the beginning, there was this big, we're going to fight it, we're going to take it to the Supreme Court, blah, 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 and all this other kind of stuff, which obviously that happened. But once that happened and it didn't quite go, it didn't give him an easy out, if you will. He caved in because he's a coward. I mean, that's my own opinion of him.
Well, I have to agree with you. Now, I have to give it to Perry. Perry is not caving. We're not taking anything they've got to hand out. At least that's where he's standing now. But now the Mexican associations, the La Raza and all those groups, they're up in arms and raising hell because that's more money that the illegals who aren't supposed to be getting any damn help from us anyway would be, you know, they'll miss out on if he doesn't do it. Now, if he caves on this, I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know either. I don't know either. But hopefully he doesn't, because, I mean, it's like, well, now we've got Chris Christie who caved in. But Chris Christie was always a liberal. He's truly the ultimate of a rhino. The only thing he hasn't been a rhino about was fighting over the school budget routine. Everything else that Chris Christie has done has been rhino. Rick Scott, as far as I knew, he was always a rhino. I never trusted him. I didn't vote for him. I voted for the no party affiliates. I'm so sick of both parties, I don't usually vote for them. So I didn't vote for him either, and I'm not surprised. And as I said, you know, hey, he had to take the fifth in the courtroom. Why did he have to take the fifth in the courtroom? What was he doing he didn't want to talk about?
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, so you're surprised that he's not honest. After he was involved in all that other health care scandal, and then somewhere along the way, his wife, they were giving a contract to a company that his wife was involved in. That thing got broken apart real quick. You can't trust them. You can't trust any of them. You really can't. I'm telling you, if people don't stop reelecting these idiots, and you know what? It's going to take several times to stop reelecting people and get somebody else in there, period. You know, you got to get the crap out of there. All there is to it.
Well, America,
go ahead.
Americans have gotten so lazy that, you know, if they turn on the 6 o'clock news and the 6 o'clock news doesn't tell them what time to get up and go pee and what time to go back to bed, then, you know, then they don't know that they're going to wet the bed because they're not going to tell them.
And I appreciate that in so many ways. It was interesting. It was on yesterday, the 5 on Fox News. It was Bob, what's his name, Bob, the Democrat, the liberal. He was actually saying it was the baby boomers who have messed things up. It was the baby boomers who got spoiled and had everything handed to them and everything else. And I agree. I've said that here on the show at different times. The baby boomers were the ones who were really spoiled to the max, assumed no responsibility. That was the same culture, the time when the culture all started to change, where nothing is your fault. It's all about me, all this other stuff.
Right,
and
right.
That's been the massive decline. What's up?
You're in the wrong generation. Baby boomers are the people that were born in 43, 42 and 43, and I'm a tail end of them at 44.
He said the
60s.
Yeah, he was saying, what's up?
The people in the 60s.
He was saying baby boomers was from 44 to 60-something. I don't know the specific years, but
no,
I'm definitely I'm a baby boomer.
Well, I'm not. See, I was born in 44, but I don't fall as a. I'm the one that the. We have so many people in going into retirement now and collecting people from World War II, late World War II people. All right,
the greatest generation. That was considered the greatest generation.
No, that's what they, when they're talking about baby boomers, that's who they're talking about.
Baby boomers were not the greatest generation. Those were the one before it. No, baby boomers are not the greatest generation. Definitely not. Most of the baby boomers didn't see any time in the war.
No, but it was their parents who had them. The parents that spent their time in the war, and there were so many of them born after they came back.
Yeah, that's when the baby boomer, that's why they called it a boomer, after the war, boomer. Baby boom.
Okay.
I mean, that's true. It's because after the war, there was babies being popped out everywhere. So that's why they called it the baby boomer generation. But it was the war, it was that generation. That was the greatest generation, World War II. Definitely wasn't baby boomers.
Well, I guess I'm one of the brats, but I didn't grow up having everything. And I don't think the baby boomers grew up having everything. The ones that grew up having everything were the kids from the baby boomers. Because
I thought in my generation, I did not grow up with everything. Well, my parents didn't buy me a car, but I saw kids in my generation who their parents were buying the cars. And I personally have always said it was my generation where the decline started. The Mimis first were born out of that one, where they got everything they wanted at Christmas time. They were never, the parents weren't running and defending them every time they did something stupid at school, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you're talking about my kids' generation.
I'm trying to look up and see if I can find the official years for the greatest generation. I can find something. What's up?
My kids' generation is the generation. In other words, my daughters are in their 40s. And that goes back to the 60s. And those kids are the kids that were brought up not wanting anything and their parents buying them cars and putting $50 blue jeans on their butts with names on them when they didn't have a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of.
Okay. The greatest
generation raised kids that ended up going and raising their kids to not want anything. You got the bunch that went back there and were started smoking pot and all that crap. It was in the 60s.
That was the baby boomers. That
bunch in the 60s.
What the other guy was saying, what Bob was saying, it was 44 to 60-something was when the generation of the baby boomers.
Yeah, but
Well,
I don't agree with the analogy that the baby boomers were the ones buying their kids cars because my generation wasn't raised that way. My friends weren't raised that way. But now my daughter's friends were raised that way.
I am part of the baby boomer generation. Nobody bought me a car, but there was definitely a trend. It was in that period where the kids started getting the cars bought for them. I saw kids that I went to high school with who were more well off, who their parents bought them the cars. That it may not have been the very first year of the baby boomers, but it was in that generation.
Okay.
And then, of course, the next generation, whether you want to call it Generation X or whatever, that they all think their parents are supposed to buy them a car.
Well, I was born in 44, and I graduated in 62. And I was right at, that was just before all the pot smoking and the naked swimming and all that crap started.
And myself, there were plenty of people smoking pot in high school, but I didn't do it. I wasn't into that stuff.
Well, see, it wasn't in the high school when I graduated, so I'm right in between. That's why I guess I didn't see it, because we didn't know what pot was. But a couple of years after I graduated, I learned what it was.
Well, my mother was kind of, she smoked. And all the stink was going on about smoking pot, Mary Jane, marijuana, whatever, weed, whatever else they were calling it. And at one point, she tried it. She about half killed herself because she couldn't inhale it the way because of her cigarette smoking. But she actually did try it herself once.
You see, I didn't try it until I was in my 30s, and I didn't like it. I was allergic to it. And my ex-husband even told my kids, don't let your mama ever have any pot because she gets meaner than a snake.
Well, my mother was probably, I'm going to say she was in her 40s when she tried it, I think. She was, I think she was in her 40s. I have to kind of think about it when she actually tried it. But I never did. But somehow she said, well, all this fuss is going on about it. She thought somehow she needed to know what it was or whatever. I don't know. Don't ask me to explain it, but she did try it, but she almost gagged to death. Let's see here. Keep trying to find something that tells me what they call the years, how they define these different years, but I don't see it. I'll have to try to find it for the next show. Because I would like to get...
because there's about four categories now, isn't there?
What's that?
There's about four categories now. You've got the baby boomers, the X factor, and then what? I don't know what they're calling this next bunch.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this latest one. I know the baby boomers and Generation X, and then there was the greatest generation before it. Those three, and then whatever this latest and greatest is. But I just thought it was interesting that Bob was saying he thought it was the baby boomers. And I've said it plenty of times because I saw kids in high school. Parents were starting to give them cars and cover the. And not was it only that they gave them the cars and they got whatever they wanted routine, the parents defended everything they did. Even if they ran a red light, even if they were, whatever they did, the parents always went out there and defended them.
Well,
and never
held
them accountable for what they did. What's that?
They're still doing that.
Yeah, but that's when it started. That was when it started.
Well, when Dr. Spock wrote his book, you know, don't tell the kids no. Don't spank them.
Yeah.
No, let them go out and burn the house down. But don't tell them they did a bad thing because they'll get a complex.
That's right. Even though they can't read or write, there's no reason to tell them they can't read or write.
That's right. And you don't let them know that not everybody can win. Oh, let's not get started on this one.
Definitely.
Oh.
Yeah,
So what have you got planned for the weekend?
You don't really don't want to get to that subject, okay. Right?
Oh, now I do, really.
I'm going to make just one comment, and you can take it wherever you want to. I went to a meet with a gymnast. My niece was competing, and there's all these different teams there. I hate to think of how many kids were there all together, but every single one of them won a medal for something. Not one of them walked away without a medal. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yep. So it was crazy. It's like, so
don't give them anything to want to work for.
Well, and the sad part is these kids, you know, the ones that I saw, you know, I'm sure they practiced and they did their best, and there is going to be those who are just naturally good at it, and there are going to be those that were just naturally clumsy. And, you know, the ones that are naturally clumsy, if they did a really, you know, if they spent extra work, they could surely be better. But you're always going to have that gap. Not everybody is made to be a gymnast. That's all there is to it. But they all want to do it because that's what their friends are doing. That's because of what mom and dad wants them to do. They all want them to be on the, this is the other aspect of this, which is part of the baby boomer thing. To me, it's a side effect of the baby boomers. They all think their kid's going to be on the Olympics and get rich.
Well,
so, I mean, you know, parents prop them up too. Yeah.
I know. I mean, if the kid can't do a somersault out in the yard, they ain't no sense in going signing up.
If they fall down walking, don't put them on a balance beam.
And I mean, but, you know, never mind.
Well, you've only got 8 minutes, so you better think about what you might want to say. We're down to 8 minutes here.
I get so flustered with the thought, you know, that these kids aren't being taught what the real world is really like.
Yeah.
Their parents are so busy trying to make sure that they get everything they want, they have everything they want, they don't know what the word no means, and they don't know what it is to fail at something. And this is what the world is about. Everything does not come up rosy every day. If it what did, we wouldn't be out here grappling.
We wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now.
That's it. I mean, we would be sitting here. We wouldn't be here feeling like, you wouldn't be here feeling like you've got to get the word out to people of what is going on and what has to happen because we have a news media that's not doing their job. And we would be sitting here just talking about growing roses and daisies and pansies.
Actually, I'd probably be out in the yard worrying about growing things. But yeah, exactly. We wouldn't be out here talking about this kind of stuff. But it truly does go down to the fact, one, we don't teach history. We know we don't teach history. And everything we're experiencing now is all history. History repeats itself. You go through these cycles, it just so much of it is so true to what the founding father said. This is what's going to happen if you don't protect yourself. Jefferson said there has to be a revolution every generation to keep government under control. Washington and Adams were always out there saying, a free society, you must be a moral society to be a free society. You must have guns in order to protect yourself against a tyrannical government. You must be able to read because if you read, people are empowered by understanding things. All these things were true. And we haven't seemed to have truly embraced what it truly means. And, again, depending on where you want to say, what generation, like I said, I guarantee you, I may have been a baby boomer, but I didn't get everything handed to me. And I think I've shared the expression, or I think you may have known what it was when I said the lesson that my mother didn't believe in sympathy. She had an expression where to find sympathy. Have you ever heard that one?
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah. For those who aren't familiar, and it was my mother, it was her lesson, and she said it frequently, you will find it in the dictionary between syphilis and something else.
Or as my dad and my granddad like to do, they'd give me a quarter and tell me to go call someone that gave a damn.
Exactly. You were told stop whining and just go do it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Pull your boots up, buy the bootstraps, and get off your butt and go do it.
Exactly.
Or can't,
well,
could. Don't tell me you can't do it. Can't, never
can't
could.
Can't, never could do anything.
And try.
And then the other case would be, it's like, you know, you have spent more time complaining and whining that if you would have just done it, you'd be finished now.
Ooh, I've heard that a lot of times, too. You know, if you had been sitting there arguing with me, you would have already had it done.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, argue wasn't the word, because I didn't get to argue with anybody. I was, like you said, I could complain, but that wouldn't do a compliment.
Yeah.
I didn't tell tell my parents no and shut up.
No. No. But I would have done that. And the first couple of times my brothers were caught swearing, using any profanity, that's when they got soap. They had their mouth washed out with soap. And you know what would happen if you washed a kid's mouth out with soap today? You'd probably be in jail.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
The second time, well, I should say, she washed it out. I think it was on the third time. She washed it out with soap, washed it out with soap, and then the third time she put pepper down their throat with it.
Exactly. That was
you know,
I'm at
a disappointment today. Yeah.
Well, that's how I broke my daughters. I put a little pepper on the end of my finger and put it on their tongue, and you would have thought I put the whole damn can there. But they didn't do it anymore.
Yeah, you definitely think twice. That pepper, that hot sauce, whatever, Tabasco sauce, yeah. It'll get your attention, but you're not allowed to do those. You're not allowed to discipline kids anymore.
So. Well, I look at it this way. It's like I told my kids when they threatened to call the police on me because I was going to spank them. And said, you can't do that. And I said, who said I can't? My teacher said you can't. We're going to call the police. I said, well, when you call them, tell them to come get your mother for murder. Because when you hang up the phone, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, too funny.
Oh, yeah. As my daughter says, you had your mean eyes, Mama, and we knew you meant it.
Oh, yeah, there were those expressions when we knew. And with me, I was the person who did a lot of silent communication. I'd be making faces and stuff like that, and that, those would get you in trouble, too. But, you know, she would tell me to shut up when I hadn't said a word.
Exactly.
But I knew enough not to say a word. It was harder for her to take my face off quite that way, but anyway. Well, we are getting down to the last couple of minutes here. I think I put it out there. I'm going to say one more time, call AAA National at 407-444-7000 and start pressuring them to be the advocates for the members that they claim they are. I will read that statement one more time of what they claim their mission statement is. Let's see here. Fortunately, conditions began to change in 1902 when delegates from 9 independent motor clubs representing fewer than 1,000 members came together in Chicago to form the American Automobile Association. Its mission was simple: to combat unfair traffic laws and campaign for better roads and more reliable vehicles. That's what AAA is supposed to be about. That means they should be advocates for the motorists against these outrageous toll roads and against selling toll roads to foreign entities. So that one, please, please call, please share this information with others. AAA has over 50 million members. They could do something to stop this. They could be an impact, but we have to pressure them for it. Okay, on that note, real quickly, Rani, it's your turn.
Well, I'm going to say when you're looking at AAA or anything other company that you do business with and their logo colors go from blue and white or red, white, and blue or pink and green to orange, red, blue, and green, they have been bought up by the UN.
Good point. Good point.
So keep that in mind when you're picking who you're going to deal with. Y'all have a good weekend.
Thank you. As always, it's been nice having you on the show. Always enjoy our discussion. And to everybody else, please have a safe weekend. Please be united as Americans. We are the ones who have to take back this country. Do not plan on the morons in public office to do it. It is up to we the people. please remember what it is to be an American. Please be united. It's all about we the people being united. On that note, please have a good evening and thank you. We will be tuning in on Monday. May God bless and protect the USA. Good night.
Good night.